just stop it right now. I was going to read you this, and it's trying to take away my word that I looked up for you. Just want to tell you what's going on this morning. Wouldn't you like to know?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So containment means this. It's the act, process, or keeping something within limits. Mm-hmm. It's the policy, process, or of preventing an expansion of power or ideology. So we are singing about, we will not be contained, our praise will not be contained, but in reality, the devil has come. How many of you know the devil is real? Like, we're not in denial that we have an adversary, right? I mean, the Bible talks about him. He's still alive. We hate him, and we're allowed to, but he's alive. Okay? But what he has come to do right now, and in up to this point in this year, okay, so how many of you know what our prophecy, the word of prophecy was? What is the main point of this year's word of prophecy? All out. Okay, so you see it used to say all in and all out, and then all of a sudden this black curtain appeared. And you know why that black curtain appeared? It wasn't for Easter. I know that you thought it was, but it was because all in slid off the wall during prayer. Just, it did. It slid down the wall. Now, we hired professionals to put this up on the wall, and they guaranteed us it is never coming down. We were wondering, what are we going to do when we change the word? Because what was up there was going to stay there forever as far as they were concerned. They're like, it's just going to be here. I'm thinking, how are we going to change this thing out now? I don't even know how to get it down. And God just went... Because it isn't time. Now, if you're not all in by now, which we will go over this, okay? But if you're not all in right now, then you're never going to get all out. Okay, so why is all out so important to us is that God is saying you cannot be contained anymore. We're not in a season of containment. But for us to not be in a season of containment, what we did this morning by activating ourselves, you know, you had to activate you had to get out of your box. That's all I can tell you is that we have, you know, we are creatures of habit. You get up in the morning, you go to the same coffee pot, you go to the same whatever you do. You know, like I like coffee, so I go to the coffee pot, I feed the cat. I mean, you know, it's a whole thing. But what if that has to change? What if God starts pressing on you to change some of your activities because he doesn't want you to always just go by what you've always done? What if he's asking you, I remember Joyce Meyer preaching a long time ago for ladies to wear colored hose. That's back when ladies wore hose. That was a horrible containment right there. I was just containment all the way. And she goes, well, just break it up. Do something different. Like, wear blue stockings. I'm like, nah, I'm out. Okay, but I'll wear a blue jacket. How about that? And so we have to do something different. If we're going to be what God said we're going to be, we're going to have to do what God said we can do. And we will never do what God said we can do if we're always going to do what we've always done. And that is the truth. Thank you for that one clap. Okay. So we are approaching May, which means that we are almost halfway through this year. I mean, I can't even believe it. Okay? But here's what happens. We're great. You guys are so awesome. We get so excited about the word of the Lord. Yay! You know, it's so awesome. God speaks to us with a prophecy that is pages long every year. God speaks. God speaks to us as a church, pages long, telling us what we're supposed to concentrate on. Everybody gets excited. I spend hours and hours and hours and days writing the fasting guide, we fast, we pray, we get it in our spirit. Yeah! We're all in, we're all out. Until about April. And then we're all out in a different way. We're like, okay, I'm tired, I'm worn out, I don't know. I mean, I thought this year was going to be different. Instead, it's not different. This is different, all right. It's worse. Yeah. I got your number. So, life happens. And I can almost time it. I can time it on my calendar. I can time it on my wall. I'm like, okay, they're out now. But they're not out the way they're supposed to be out. They're just out of pressing through. They're out of faith. They're out of believing. They're out of, okay, I can't change. Nothing's changing in my life. Where's God when I ask him for that? I don't see God, so I'm going to give up on God mode. That is not what all out is about. Hello? So if we stay in circumstances and our thinking is on our circumstances, I don't know how many of you are rolling in everything you wanted to roll in right now. But if you don't have everything that the Bible says that you can have, Satan will come. And he will try to bring disappointment and discouragement, and he will threaten you. He will tell you that this is just the way it's going to be. You're going to live like this. There's no hope. You might as well just have that pity party that you people have been joining with. And just sit down and shut up, because he wants nothing more than the body of Christ to sit down and shut up. Which makes me want to stand up and shout out. Because it's the only way to break him. If you really believe that you were built by God. Okay, we've gone over this a million times. I'm going to go over it once again. In the garden, God created man in his image and in his likeness. Created he them. He gave them, that means you and me, an assignment. And the assignment was what? Oh my goodness, somebody better know this answer. Yes, take dominion, take authority, multiply. Take dominion. Well, I just have, that might be another word for you. What's dominion mean? Anybody have any clue what it means? Okay, authority. It means supreme authority. It means having dominion over the natural world. Oh, my goodness. God created man and woman. Okay, he created man. You're a nice-looking man God created. Then he created woman. He said, oh, you're going to be so good for this man. I'm going to make you a helpmate. And then he looked at them and he goes, I'm going to breathe something into you. And then he breathed the Spirit of God into them. And then he said, you take supreme authority over this earth. And then he thought we would. He believed it. He built us that way. He was like, okay, here they go. But he knew ultimately there would have to be a savior, because they were going to sin, and he knew that, and it's not a surprise, and Jesus was slain from the foundation of the earth, and we know all of that. But then God said, okay, everything that was lost with the agreement with Satan is found with the agreement of heaven. When Jesus came, he restored us back into that position, didn't he? Okay. So, dominion and authority created you. Supreme authority created you to have dominion and authority. So where are we standing in our dominion and authority? Right? All of us. But if he made us like that, then what is happening here? Why is it that we get so consumed with what everybody says on the news, or the bad reports, or, you know, what the doctor says, or what your neighbor says, or what society says? This old world is this old world. And he said he's given us dominion and authority over this old world. But he didn't give it to us so that we can, like, be puffed up. He gave it to us so we can change it. He didn't say, okay, I'm giving you dominion and authority so you can be a big shot. Although we are, because we belong to him. But we're not supposed to get puffed up in our own selves. We're supposed to always be giving the glory back to him so that we will not be contained and his power can flow freely through us. Amen? Okay, but here's what happens. People get saved. Yay. Yay, God, I'm saved. Woohoo. Transferred out of darkness into his marvelous light. Never felt so good in all your life. If you didn't feel that way, I don't know if you're saved. Because there was a transformation that happened in that moment. You were once lost and now you're found. That is something to get excited about. All of a sudden, the weightiness of sin was holding you down, and then you're free, washed by the blood of Jesus, okay? So then we get all excited. We're going to go tell everybody, oh, my God, this is what happened to me. We're going to share our testimony. It's not a problem because you were in darkness, and now you're in light. It's like, oh, I got to tell you, you know, if you don't even know what to do, we invited somebody over one time, and we didn't know exactly how to get through to him. Because, you know when you're familiar with your friends, like it's a little bit embarrassing sometimes. You back up a little bit because you think you're going to freak him out and all of that. So we go, oh, you know, we got to share something with you. We want you to sit down and listen to this. This is amazing. And so we had a tape from Reverend Angley. Now, if any of you know Reverend Angley, I was raised in his church and he don't play. And so he is like on this tape, and we have it full blast up to our friend, and it's going, are you an alcoholic? Are you in sin? Jesus came to you cannot say, you're going to hell. I'm like, whoa, maybe that might have been the wrong tape to play. But I will tell you what happened. He ended up going to church with us and gave his life to the Lord. His family got saved. When did we become so embarrassed of Jesus that we don't say anything to the world? We are in this world. I'm not too fond of it, actually. I'd rather be with Jesus. That's what Paul says. I'm with Paul. I'd rather be with Jesus. Who doesn't want to be with Jesus? Come on now. But as long as I'm in the world, and as long as you were in the world, you have something that you are called to do. You have something that you are called to be. You are in this world, but you're supposed to be the transformers of this world. See, okay, so John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you that you might have peace. And then he goes on to say these next words, and you're just like, say what? In the world you shall have tribulation. Oh, yay. That's just an awesome word of God right there. In this world we shall have tribulation. I'm like, this is not a happy thought here. You know, it means pressure. You're going to have pressure in this world. You're going to have some burdens in this world. It means you're going to be persecuted. You're going to have some trouble. When you became a Christian, you are not already in heaven. You can experience heaven on earth, but we are not in heaven yet. So guess what? You're going to face some things, but it's how we face it. The thing that makes a Christian set apart from the people in the world is supposed to be when the same things happen to us that happen to them, we respond differently. That's it. Hello? But you know, I don't know if I see so much of that. I mean, you know, the divorce rate is the same of the people in the church that it is out of the church. Are you kidding me? People, pastors have now, well, I won't say pastors, pastor that I heard, that I read, it was his own words, so I have to believe that he said it. He said, you know, I was having some trouble, so, you know, I decided I'd smoke some weed with THC in it because it made me feel better, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, tells his church. There is some wrong with that, Duffy. What?
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, what are we doing? So the world's like, well, the pastor's going to do it. Why don't we just hand it all out while we're in church? You know, I don't even know how to do that. That's so ridiculous, isn't it? You should be happy about that, actually. So, but he said, here is what's going to happen. You're going to have some tribulation and people are going to act worldly because they're in the world. But he didn't call the church to act worldly. No, he said to us, he said, be a good cheer. You're going to have some tribulation, but be a good cheer. Well, I'm like, well, okay. And then he tells us how. Because I have overcome the world. When he overcame the world, he overcame the world for us. Say, he did it for me. And he made me an overcomer. Mm-hmm. But you know what that means? It means you have to focus on being who he's called you to be and acting like he's called you to be. All right, this is what he said to us in our prophetic word. This is like about the fourth paragraph down. He said, I am going to speak things to you that will surprise you. How many of you asking for the surprise? I'm going to break down your opinions. Do you know you have opinions? Do you know you have some stupid opinions? Yeah, that's why he wants to break them down. Break them down. Okay. And it's going to change the way you think. Oh, hallelujah, please. Change our brain. Okay. And then he said these key points in the next thing he said. He said, I am not moved by the opinions of the world. Do you know that God is not afraid of what's going on in the world? Do you know that he is not siding with the opinions of everyone else? Do you know he doesn't, he hears the news reports and he's like, poor suckers. They know. They're going to believe that, you know? He's like, you know that fake news? God's going, it's fake news. Because it's not good news. And he said, I am here to change the opinions of the world. That's what he said to us. I am here to change the opinions of the world through you. You mean Jesus ain't going to walk in here right now and tell us how to change our opinions? Yeah, through each one of you. What I don't have, somebody else will have. Just depends on who you're going to listen to. So who are you going to listen to? Who are you sitting under to speak into your life to tell you the truth about what's really going on instead of just being bounced all over the place by whatever everybody else is saying? Whoever you're sitting next to out in a restaurant, whoever you go to the grocery store with, whatever you're spouse may be saying, if it's not lining up with the word of God, then you need to, you know, you need some automatic earplugs. You're like, oh, I can't listen to that. You know, block it out. You know, here comes another one. You know, okay, I want to see the Avengers. What can I tell you? All right, so we're back to the Avengers. God is the great Avenger. Okay. So here's what we know. We have to renew our minds to the Word. When did Christians stop thinking that the Word was necessary? You know, is it an ornament that sits on your table? Or is it something that you read and devour and ask God for revelation on? I mean, what is the church doing if they're called to be the church? I can tell you if you're weak and tired and ready to give up, you're not reading. You're not getting into the Word. You're not getting the life that you need, because the Word brings life. It brings light. If you're in it, it has to change you. You know, everybody has their place in the prayer line. Everybody has bad days. Everybody has things they have to overcome. I'm not putting you down if you're having a bad day. I'm not discounting your struggle. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. There's no condemnation here. But here's what I'm trying to say. Don't stay there. There's a way out. There is a way out, and Jesus is the way out, but you're going to find Jesus in the Bible. That's where you're going to find him. That's where he's going to come alive to you. And he has to be the Bible, the Jesus that is in the Bible to you, not the Jesus of the Bible that he is to me. I mean, I can help you, hopefully, but I can't do it for you. Okay, so he said that we're going to be his mouthpiece. He created us to take authority. You don't take authority by sitting down and shutting up. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, the world doesn't like it if I, you know, okay, I'm going to just go there. So Jesus, was he the exact representation of the Father? All right. Oh, skipping. All you people trying to watch where I'm going. It's too late for all that. Jesus represented his Father. I want to ask you this. Did Jesus have a problem changing people's mindsets? No. You know why? Because the mindsets of that day were not in alignment with the mindset of the kingdom. He knew what was going on in heaven. He was always in contact with the Father, and he was watching what was going on in the world, and you know, he would address things. You know, he addressed Pharisees, the religious sect of the day. You know, the people that just want you to never cut your hair, you know, wipe your makeup off. Oh, I remember those days, man. They tried to get me to do that. I go in. If the barn needs painting, baby, you need to just go ahead and paint that barn. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, break that off in Jesus' name. I didn't even have to go to the Word to figure that out. I'm just like, Oh, no. I mean, like, go ahead, get yourself dressed up. Put on some makeup. Look like a human being, you know? And so we do the best we can, right? But Jesus didn't have a problem with changing them and confronting them. He went into them old religious people. He's like, I got good news for you. I got good news. Now listen tight. And he'd go, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They'd be like, heresy. And he'd be like, I am the way. I am the truth. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears, talking about Isaiah 61. He's like, I'm here. I'm the Messiah. They're like, oh, man, we got to kill him. Well, if you're a Christian, you ought to be riling some people up. If nobody's mad at you about your stand, maybe you're not standing. You got nothing to say about God that's going to like, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, not Buddha. Buddha's not the way, the truth, and the life. It's not him. He's dead, in case anybody wondered. That's why all his fruit's still there the next day after they give it to him. He's dead. You know, Mohammed. I mean, I could go down the line. These people are not God, but we're afraid to say that because we might offend somebody. What? What? Okay, you know that why you're called a Christian is because of C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ. And the difference that happened in your life was because you accepted C-H-R-I-S-T in your heart and life. It wasn't some other God. And so why are we so afraid we're going to offend somebody? Now, I am not telling you just go out of here and on purpose just go offend as many people as you can. I am not saying that. I am saying when the opportunity arises, when you are with somebody and they start talking nonsense. And that, you know, here's how the nonsense sounds these days. You know, they go, well, you know, don't you just think that if God is so good, and you always say he's good. Yeah, because he is. And you know, if he's so good, then if you just believe anything or in anyone with all of your heart, do you really think he'll send you to hell? Yeah, I do. If you're not saying it's Jesus Christ in a New York minute, he doesn't want you to go to hell. He made a provision for people to not go to hell. He made a way for you to have eternal life with him. I mean, why did he send his son to die a cruel death on the cross if you can get there any old way? Any old way is not the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Well, why are we so afraid to say he is the way? We're getting no one in the kingdom if we don't know that Jesus is the way and we're afraid to say it. What? Christians need to open their mouth again and say, okay, well, let me tell you something. I can tell you the difference between that and what I've experienced. And all of that is religion. And see, religion gives you works. They tell you you have to earn it. They tell you, you know, that some people have to beat themselves. Like, they beat themselves for their God. What? Well, that ought to just tell you right there, I ain't serving that God. You know? They do all kinds of things. They have all kinds of traditions. They have all kinds of stuff. But you know, if they know that God is good and this is why he's good. He's not good so that he could let the playing field be leveled so that Jesus and Buddha and Mohammed and whoever else they can think of, Hare Krishna and all those weirdos. He didn't level that playing field that everybody could be gods with him. There is a God. There is a true God. There is a redeeming God. There is a God who created us in his image and in his likeness. And there is no one else like him. And the only way to get to him is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And so, you know, who's preaching that in churches? So, Jesus had to challenge the mindsets of the day, and if you are representing him on the earth, so do you. What's with all of this watered-down acceptance of a bunch of stuff that will keep people going to hell? Eternity is on its way. I don't know where it's at. Could be today. Beam me up. It could be today. But wherever it is, I don't want to stand before the Lord and Lord say, hey, man, why didn't you tell them? Why didn't you tell them they were in error? That there is a better way. Man, I can tell you that religion doesn't give you an experience. Religion gives you a set of rules. But relationship with Jesus Christ gives you a life to live that is different. Amen? So, okay, deception enters, and there, how many of you know deception is running rampant in the world right now? Yeah. Woo! When deception enters, when the name of Jesus takes a side seat with other ways to be saved. Mm-mm. We got to go all out with challenging the mindsets of those people in the world and change their mind into the mindset of the kingdom of our God. You know, I am saying this to you guys. Raised your hands today when they said how many of you received Jesus. So you all said you know him. So I'm talking to a house full of Christians. So I'm talking to you like Christians. Okay? So I'm not watering anything down. I'm not going to make this real palatable to you today. Because somebody has got to rile you up. Somebody's got to tell you the truth so that you can tell the truth. And so, you know, whatever you're doing, you have to have enough confidence in God and who you are in him that when you speak out the truth, his grace and his love is going to be on it to invade their hearts. I mean, I'm giving you a hard word because it's time for you to get a hard word. But when I'm talking, listen, if you ever see me talking to somebody who isn't saved, I am nothing but a mush pile, but I do not water down the truth. I love them with all my heart, and I'm trying to rescue them from hell. And I'm not going to get in their face, but I am getting in your face today because I am a prophet. Amen. It's about time somebody stands in that office and tells you the truth. And until everybody gets out of their complacency and their containment, we are not going to change the world. Who is changing the world with Jesus right now? Not people who are just satisfied. Not people who are silent. They're not changing the world. You know, what the other thing about Jesus? Did he make everyone happy with his statements of truth? Oh, he got it. I love this one. This is my favorite. John 6:56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. What? They're like, you know, they probably didn't know about vampires back then. But like, and then he goes on to say, as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me, like, will live because of me. Now, you got to remember that these people have no idea what he's talking about. Like, I am a visionary. Like, if Jesus was standing in front of me going, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, I'd be like, that is the grossest thing I have ever heard. I mean, I see it. Like, that is disgusting. Right? But why was Jesus saying this? I mean, why does he have to go to such lengths of this? You know, but that's what he said. And then he goes, this is the bread. Now he's starting to give them a little bit of insight into what he's really talking about. This is the bread that came down out of heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, but he who eats this bread will live forever. He's trying to break through their mindsets and say, you need to think different. You need to have a different mindset. You need to think higher. You need to be grasping for what I'm trying to tell you here. Because this bread, it came down from heaven. Now, they're used to bread coming down from heaven. So when he said that, that wouldn't be so unusual to them because immediately they would go to manna. But that bread would come down when they needed it to sustain their life, and then it would disappear. They had to eat it all, or else it would rot, right? But Jesus is saying, man, he goes, this is, you got to eat me. You got to drink me, because I'm coming down from heaven, and I am going to sustain your life forever. And when you believe in me and you partake of me, then you are going to live with me forever. This is the bread. He's like, he's saying stuff he knows they're not going to understand, but he's still saying it. You know why? Because when we put things out into the atmosphere and it's from God, it lays. We change atmospheres with words of truth that the Father is delivering so that all of the other stuff goes away. So a bunch of people left. You know, we go, wow, they really left. That's really crazy. Well, we'd probably run too. I mean, we might come back later, but that's a heavy saying. Okay? And so that was a doozy. When I was writing this, I wrote, that was a doozy. And then I went, that's a weird word that came out of the past. And I don't even know if I'm appropriate to say that word. I better look this word up, see what doozy is, because I have been known to say things from the Bible without knowing where it came from. And people are like, stop now, stop the tape, reverb. I'm like, okay, what's a doozy? So I looked it up, just so you know that I looked it up so I could say it. And it's about the Duesenberg car, the automobile. And it was unusual. It was out of the box. It was something remarkable in 1920. It was a doozy. Well, Jesus, what he just said, that was a doozy. That was remarkable. You'd like that word, wouldn't you? Yeah. Because it was unheard of before. No one ever said that before. No one understood what he was saying, but he had to put it out there. And so he put it out there. Okay, and so then from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They're like, he's crazy. I'm out. They were all out, not the right way, but they were all out. And then Jesus looks at his 12 and he goes, are you going too? He's like, who's going to stay with me through this? Like, because he knows they don't know what he's talking about yet, you know. And Simon Peter, whom we love, you know. At this point, Peter, with his personality, you'd think he'd be like, I go fishing now. I mean, I'm like, I'm going to fishing now. But he didn't. And you know why he didn't? Because he said, Lord, who are we going to go to? You have the words of eternal life. You see, because something had happened to Peter and those 12 disciples. They had walked with him. They had talked to him. They had heard his words. And when they heard his words, they had experienced something. His words were words that carried something weighty to them. You know, you have to ask yourself today as a Christian, are you hearing the words of Jesus, and is it weighty for you? Do you know that it carries eternity in his words? Are you cognizant of the fact that Jesus, when he speaks, he has the ability to cut through all of the nonsense of the enemy and set your life back where it needs to be, no matter how far away you've strayed, no matter what you thought yesterday? Today is a new day. Amen. No matter how much condemnation that the enemy has brought, Jesus, in one event, one experience, one of those shouts today, one of those things that you said, I'm not going to be contained anymore. You made a way for Jesus to say, I'm yours. I'm here. I'm going to take care of you. You see, that the experience of Jesus, the experience of his voice, it brought a securing value to Peter and the disciples. They're like, we don't know what in the world you are talking about, but one thing we do know, you're different. When you talk, I got rivers going on inside of me. I got something that tells me this is truth and I can't leave truth. Well, guess what? You're made in his image and in his likeness. And you are Christians. And in this world, empowered by the Holy Ghost, you have the words of eternal life. You speak of him and rivers start flowing again. You talk to someone about your experience and they can experience it. If you forget what your experience was, you can go back to those moments and you can experience it again. Because his words are everlasting. They're words of life. They're words that carry power and authority. But we get all messed up with with whatever. The greatest tactic of the enemy right now is distracting us. We just get so distracted. It's like, you know, he waves a flag over here, and then he waves a flag over here, and then he waves a flag over here, and we're like, we're just running around in circles, accomplishing nothing because we haven't been with the one who accomplished everything. Okay. So, it's time for the church to go all out with statements of truth again. You gotta say stuff that doesn't conform to this world. I mean, people don't. I don't know. I mean, like, abortion isn't okay. How about that one? How about that? Could we just be honest here? Now, if anybody had an abortion, Jesus loves you. That's under the blood. If you ask him to forgive you, there's no condemnation here. There's no condemnation here. But I'm going to tell you right up straight, murder is murder, and a baby is a child, and it's a human being, and it deserves to be born, and you are not going to walk away and let it die on a table after it's born and say that this is okay if you belong to C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ. I don't care what you're saying. You know, if Christians can say these things, they are grieving the very heart of God. You know, that you cannot have that kind of a mixture. There is right and there is wrong. And if there's just a little bit of right in the wrong, it's still wrong. You can't be... You know what Baal was? Baal was the god that they sacrificed babies to. What? How are we going to be blessed if we think that, well, we don't want to hurt your feelings? No, I don't care if I hurt your feelings. I want to save a baby. I'll get you fixed when you save the baby. You think you're messed up now? Kill a baby. See how you feel afterwards. Then we got to deliver you from the shame and the torment of that, because this is the plan of the enemy, is to destroy generations because he's afraid of who that little baby's going to be. He's afraid of the next Christian that's going to take a stand. He's afraid of the next pastor, the next evangelist. He's afraid of the next doctor that's going to bring a cure. He's afraid of the next scientist that's going to do something amazing in the world. He wants to just cut them all off. Yeah, but it's a woman's right. Really? Here's your right. Okay, here's the right that you have. You have the right, I'll say this nice as I can, not to get pregnant. You have that right. That was very good. You have that right. But do you really want to become God and decide who lives and dies? Because you just took his seat. Time to go all out with the truth again. You know? When does the world think that they're going to draw anybody when they're just as naked as everyone else? I mean, come on. Stand out. Stand up. Be different. Be the church. Look like Christ. Okay. People in the world tell you, well, don't let anybody else tell you what the rules are. You make your own rules to live by. What? Chaos. Yeah, chaos. They say, you're the captain of your own soul. Don't submit to anybody. Well, Jesus submitted. We're Christians. We're going to be like him. He submitted everything to the Father, did everything the Father said, did everything he told him to do. He said, I don't do anything without submitting to my Father. But But do we do anything without submitting to the Godhead? Or we just do it and then we, you know, it's easier to ask forgiveness. You heard that one. Just do it and ask forgiveness later. Well, I mean, thank God for grace. We can ask for forgiveness later, but that's not how we're supposed to live our life. We're supposed to live our life for the glory of Him. We're supposed to live our life that it's going to be pleasing to Him. We're supposed to live our life so that when someone sees us, they go, wow, there's something different in your life. People are supposed to be able to know who to call when they have a problem. And you know who people don't want to call? The person that has the same problem as you do. For real, right? Oh, man. Okay, so, you know, most of you know I was divorced. That was a horrible experience of my life. So we'll just put that right out there and just tell you that was horrible. And I wouldn't have gone through it if I had a bunch of people telling me that, you know. In fact, they called. All the people that were ever divorced called me up. They wanted to talk about their husbands. They did. They wanted to tell me all the. I go, I can't talk to you. No, I ain't talking to you. I'm like, what I'm going through right now, I have to get past. I can't get past this if we're going to just discuss how horrible all this was. And then I'm going to tell you how horrible he was. And you're going to tell me how horrible he was. And then we're all going to get in agreement how horrible they all are. And then, you know, how are you going to get past anything if all you're doing is talking about the problem and talking about what they did to you and feeling sorry for yourself? Oh, no, I needed people to come over to my house, which they did. And they would, like, scream in my face. There's a few of them in this room that did that. But, of course, Teresa had the loudest voice. Anybody who knows my daughter because she's got the biggest mouth, right? But I needed it. And she would stand in front of me and she goes, you are not going to think about that. You are going to think about your future. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to think about my future. You know, I still have a future. I have a future. God called me. He didn't make a mistake. He called me. I have to live and not die. I have something to do for the kingdom. Oh, my goodness. People would just come over to my house and sit and stare at me. We'd just stare at each other going, we're going to make it. We're going to make it through to the other side. People would be like, Shanda, 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 because that's all we could say. You know, I love this story. So, you know, during that time, Teresa was always walking around the house, as I often do as well, and say, help me. And we're crying out to God. You know, it's like, help me. Help me, help me, help me. You know, we're going, Jesus, help is what we're saying. So, you know, Reveille was much smaller, and so she's trying to help Reveille with her shoe, and she can't get her shoe on Reveille's foot, and she's going, help me. And so she goes, help me. And Reveille's just sitting there, and she goes, Reveille, help me get your shoe on. And she goes, oh, sorry, Mom, I thought you were talking to God. Yeah. we were looking for stuff to be happy about. Teresa finally decided on blueberry coffee in America. That was that's what she was going to think about for the time being. Because at least we could be happy about that. Right now, we're not so happy about America. You know? I don't even know if she likes blueberry coffee anymore. But here's what needs to happen in America. You. Blah. The Christ in you needs to happen in America. He didn't call us to be complacent. How's that? Worried, weren't you? oh no. But, you know, I read the Bible and I'm like, I don't know, when is the church going to tell the truth about what's going on in the church? Oh, no, here we go. They're like, I shouldn't have come to this service. Now, I believe that you're here for a reason, because I believe God is mobilizing a bunch of people. Okay, so let's just talk about that for a moment. I won't hang here, but like, When did the church become so seeker friendly that they're seeking after seekers more than they're seeking after God? Just a thought. I mean, I was witnessing to somebody in the restaurant the other night. That's what I do. And I said, "Do you know Jesus?" Nice young man. He's a happy guy. I'm like, "Probably knows him, but I'll check, you know." "You know Jesus?" He goes, "Yeah." You know you know what that means, right? Kinda, don't know what you're talking about, wish you'd shut up. That's what that means, right? And I go, "Well," he goes, I'm not into all that religion. I go, "Me neither. I hate religion. Religion is terrible. They give you a bunch of rules you can't live up to. I mean, that's just hard. I don't like religion either." I go, "You know, that's nonsense." And he goes, "Yeah, man, that's hard. You can't do it." I go, "No, you're not. You can't do it. That's why Jesus came to break that. He came to give you relationship. That's a different whole thing. Then you get to know him. You get to be like him because you're aware of how he loves you and everything." And so, you know, I didn't even notice, to be honest with you. The people I was with started noticing him shifting, wanting to run. But I didn't care. You know, they're like, you know how you're with somebody and you're like, "Oh, my God, I wish they'd shut up." But you know, I was in the mode. What if he goes out here tonight and gets hit by a car? Amen. You know? So I said, "Well, are you going to church anywhere?" They always love it when I ask that question. He goes, "Well, I went to church." Okay, good. Okay. "Where'd you go to church?" "Well, I went to this church. It was really not like so much like a church, though. It's like a concert." A concert. He goes, "Yeah, it was, you know, they had lights. They had all these flashing stuff. That, you know, it's like you paid money to go to a concert." And I went, "Oh, okay." And I went, "You know, no wonder he's not in church anymore. Because he just went to a concert." Now, he didn't say that they didn't preach about Jesus. He didn't say none of that. But you know, I don't want people to say, I mean, okay, if I had money and we had a huge auditorium, I might add lights and stuff. But here's what I would never do. I would never have them say that the singers could sing well and that the instruments were played well and that the lights were pretty without saying, and it dropped the very presence of God in the place so that we couldn't deny who he was. Because worshipers create an atmosphere for God to come. And if you're not creating an atmosphere for God to come, we're just having a concert. Amen. Right. And a concert, far as I know, never changed anybody's life. All it did was entertain people. Oh, you get numbers that way. Who cares? Numbers for what? Numbers for what? So you can call up somebody and say, "I got more numbers than you got." Well, tell me how many lives are changed and how many generations are being affected. Tell me about how many people got healed. Tell me about what you're doing out in the streets. Tell me about what your life looks like. Tell me about people who used to do stupid stuff that are no longer doing stupid stuff, and I'll call it a church. And if we don't do that, then what are we doing? Just a bunch of windbags. Just a bunch of people call themselves by his name, but don't act like him. Don't talk like him. Don't dress like him. Not worthy of his name. Jesus said he's coming back for church without spot or wrinkle. He's not coming back to clean you up anymore. He already came. We just came out of Easter. My God. He sent his son to clean you up. He's not sending anybody else. His blood is enough. But you got to access it. You got to access who you really are. Who are you? Well, I don't know. know who I am. Well, we'll find out. Here's who you are. People called, anointed, appointed. Here's who you are. People who are supposed to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's who you are, if you know Jesus, anointed. You're the people that are carrying the Spirit of God on the inside of you around. And he's not supposed to be contained. You're not supposed to apologize for him. You're not supposed to, I mean, you know, well, you can pray in tongues, and as long as you go to the back room over in the corner where no one hears you, shut up with that. Where is the power in that? I mean, the Holy Ghost is not, he's the third person of the Trinity. If Jesus showed up today, would you tell him to go in the other room, sit down, shut up? You'd be happy to see Jesus. Why aren't we happy to see the Holy Spirit? Why are we ashamed of him moving the way he moves? He was sent by the Father after Jesus left to teach us all things. He was sent to express the very heart of the Father. He gave us gifts. He gave us fruit. Why do we want to apologize for him? What are we doing? And I don't just mean speaking in tongues. I like it a lot. There's a reason why we speak in tongues. It says it builds you up in your most holy faith. Well, hallelujah, Shonai. You know what I mean? I mean, like, if you got nothing else, you can pray in the Spirit. It'll build your faith up because the Bible says it will. So use it. It also says that when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you pray the perfect will of God and that Satan doesn't understand you. Well, hello, if it was just for that. Ha ha, Satan, what'd I just say? You don't know. And you can't stop it either. I like that part. And it's a sign for people. It's not a sign. What if we just took all the signs for liberty and we just hit them all the time and hoped somebody knew how to Google? The Holy Spirit came for a sign. He came to be assigned to the unsaved as well as the saved. He came to invade space. He came to say Jesus is still alive, and now, stupid Satan, now he isn't just alive. He has created a whole bunch of an army of people that have the same power that he did when he was raised from the dead. So ponder that, Satan. We don't hide the sign. So at the end, I'm going to have to ask you if you still love me. Okay. James, he wasn't playing. Did you ever read the book of James? James will rip you one side and down the other. If you want to know what's right, you need to listen to the apostle. Okay, so I don't even have to say this. James said it for me. James 4:7-8. Submit to God. Oh, what? Submit? We don't like to submit. We're independent people. Well, okay, time to be done with that. Because here we already read that we are in this world and we're going to have tribulation. Am I right? We already know that Satan is alive, right? We want the devil to run away from us. Is that true? Well, here's your answer. So, you know, we like to say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, we all say that. We know that. Yeah, that's in our... But do you say submit to God, resist the devil? You know, if you're not submitting to God, you can resist the devil all you want. He's laughing at you. He's like, well, why should I? Why am I running away from you? You don't even believe in God. You're not doing anything he asked you to do. I can do anything I want to you. And then you wonder why the devil isn't like hiking it away from you. But when you get before the Father and you go, Lord, not my will but yours be done. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever I need to lay down, I'm laying down. Whatever I need to go for it, I'm going for it. No matter what you want me to say, however you want me to say it, then I'm going to say it. However you want me to say it, I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do. And that is what I'm going to do. And I, after having done all, I am standing firm on that. And I am standing firm on the fact that you are the Lord of my life. You are not just my Savior, but I accept you as Lord. You get to have the first word and the last word and every word in between. And now that I am in my positional authority under submission to you, I speak to you, Satan, and I just resist you. And he books it away from you. Because he's like, oh, crap, that's a real Christian. And she just said, crap, oh, no. Oh, see how that works? I don't know. Supposed to say crud, I guess. It's better. I don't know. Whatever. You know, I won't go there. Okay. A little emoji just came up in your mind, didn't it? I know it. I know. You're just too hip. That's all. Did Jesus advance the world's system? I'm almost done, I promise. He didn't advance the world system. He came to change it. Okay, let that filter through your brain. You were not on this earth to advance the world system. Well, if I do this, it's good. Man, just, you're not here for that. You're not here for that. You're a Christian. You said you were Christians. You're not here to make the world advance. You know, you can be smart and all that. You can make money and all that. Because God wants to prosper you so that you can give. Because you're a giver. Because your nature has been changed. So he'll prosper you beyond measure. He will. He said so. I believe it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Okay? But he came to change the world. Jesus came to change the world. And then he left and he sent you to change the world. He didn't send you so that you could accommodate the world. He said, it's time for you to go all out. You got 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 to go all out in yourself. You got to lay it all down. You got to go all out with everything you have. You got to go all out in your mind. You got to go all out in your strength. You got to go all out in what he told you to do. You got to be all out for him so that we can be the world changers that he called us to be, because the world needs changing and Jesus is coming. He said this in Romans 12:2. Yeah. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everybody just slap your head. Say renew. Yeah. That you may prove. See, your mind has to change that you can prove something. You gotta take charge of your mind. Because your mind will run you ragged. You can prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God when you take charge of your thoughts. But if you just let any old thought go run through there, you're changing nothing. You're changing because you're believing the lie. Because he has a lot to tell you, that old enemy of ours. But the door of opportunity has opened in this season to go all out. But in this assignment, there are many adversaries. Well, I don't like that part. I don't care. I don't like it either. Listen, if I could just flush all the demons to hell right now, I'd do that. But God said he has equipped us to keep them away from us. They're going to be in this world with us. It's how we deal with them that is going to matter. If we welcome them in to our atmosphere, Well, what do you mean? Well, I don't know. Lying, gossiping, complaining, pity parties, listening to the wrong music, watching the wrong stuff on TV. What happened to the pastor? Oh, I don't know. She's at home. Yeah, she's at home. The prophet's here. This is not against people. But I want to tell you something about Jesus. How you see Jesus is how you'll relate to Jesus. So, like all these pictures of Jesus with the little sheep. Like, he looks like a wimp. You know, he's like carrying a little sheep. Like, what about the fierce Jesus? What about the warring Jesus? What about the Jesus that is coming back on a white horse? What about that Jesus? What about the one who went down into hell and took away the keys and rose again and said, boom? What about that Jesus? What about the Jesus that when you said, Jesus, and he came into your life? What about that transforming Jesus? What about the one who has such passion in his eyes that when he looks at you, he transforms you too? That if he came in the full power of who he was, you just melt on the floor. What about the Jesus that has knocked you on the floor? What about the Jesus that showed up in your prayer room? What about the Jesus that shows up in the Word and makes himself real to you? What about the Jesus that carries the words of life? What about the fierce Jesus that won against the enemy? Do you know him? Because he said you need to conform to my image and my likeness. But which Jesus are you conforming to? Some little picture that you saw, or some Jesus that was so determined to follow his Father's will that he was willing to sweat blood and take the stripes and die on the cross just to let us have union with the Father again? That's my Jesus. And the Father is looking for sons and daughters who represent him well again. And to represent him well again, you better get up and fight. You better have a little bit of fierceness inside of you. You better quit being mamby-pamby, watered-down, compromised Christians that don't even know how to take care of yourself, let alone somebody else. Because Jesus is coming. But I have good news. I'm going to end with good news. Are you happy? I'm happy. You know, I don't, you know, people go, you must like doing this because you're a prophet. No, I don't. No, I don't. I would rather hug you all, love you all, tell you how cute you are every day. I want to tell you how awesome you are. I want to tell you how much ability God has given you. I really do. I love that part. This part I don't like, but this part is necessary. You know, I don't know, you know, back in the day when I was getting raised, we got spanked. You know what I'm saying? My parents didn't enjoy it. I mean, some people's parents enjoy it. That's wrong. But I'm just saying, my parents didn't enjoy it. You know, but they did it anyway. You know why? This is, you know, they always say this too. This will hurt me more than it hurt you. I'm like, yeah, give me that stick. You know, we'll find out if that's true, you know. I mean, like, but you didn't say that or you're going to get it more. You know what I'm saying? So, but if you love somebody, you know, the Bible says he who loves, he disciplines. He is not coming with a stick, but he's coming with truth. He's coming with the word. And the word has the ability to divide between your soul and your spirit. Your soul ought to be like ouching right now. You know, your soul, oh man, you know. And if you're like holier than me, then good for you. Stay holy. But you know, every once in a while, we need to get realigned. We need to recognize, wow, I don't know, maybe I need to get that back in place right there. Need a good smack now and then. All right. We When you're fighting an adversary, you have to be determined to go all out to him, for him to get all out. You have to go all out for him to get all out. Like, I'm not going to let you stay in that part either. You're getting all out. You will find no place in me. Amen? All right, so good news. Deuteronomy 11, starting in verse 10. How many of you know that God has given us a land to possess? Actually, he says every place that we put our feet. Yeah. Okay. So he says, for the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you came. Because in the land of Egypt, what were they? Slaves. Okay. Where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. He's like, all you did was, like, you kept doing the same thing, but you were never producing any fruit. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys. Okay, so we know this. It's a land of hills and it's a land of valleys. I like it when I'm on the hill. I don't like it so much in the valley. But, okay, we're going to have hills and valleys. But we're going to possess this land. Okay, so the good news is we're going to possess it. Which drinks water from the rain of heaven. I love this. A land for which the Lord your God cares. Oh. Whatever land he's given you, I mean, to me, land to me means first the land of knowing him. Then it's the land of my family serving him. Then it's the church getting this. It's raising up people who are determined to live for him and not step away. It's raising up a people that are going to love him with all their heart and serve him, that are going to encounter him. A land that the Lord cares about. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it. He's always looking at you. He's always looking at what he told you to do. You know, everybody in here has a land to possess. You know, maybe you're supposed to possess the land in the marketplace. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's your call. Maybe you're supposed to possess the land in the science department. Maybe you're supposed to possess the land in the spirituality department. Maybe you're supposed to possess another land. I don't know. But whatever the Lord has given to you, do you even know what it is? And if you know what it is, then he's looking at it. And he's watching over it, and he cares about it, and he cares about you, and he cares about it always. And it says from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. When I was, that was the chair spinner for me yesterday. From the beginning of the year to the very end of the year, he said all out. From the beginning of the year, you're not giving up halfway through this year. Because if you stop in the middle, you didn't make it to the end, and you're just a middle person. And middle people never do nothing. Did you ever see a middle person win a race? They're just in the middle. What are they doing in the middle? Nothing. They're accomplishing nothing. Don't be a middle person. Be the person that runs the race to win. But he said, you're going to go all out. And when you go out, I'm going all out with you. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. This is not the middle of the year where we stop. This is the middle of the year where we get geared back up. This is the middle of the year where we go, okay, Satan, I recognize the nonsense you've been trying to. Now you shut up. Because I'm about ready to submit myself to God. And when I submit myself to God, you have to flee. Okay. You ready? You got to get yoked up with God again. We need to represent God and quit being unstable. You know, a divided thinker will not accomplish anything. Who are you serving? Who are you going to live for? Who are you going to die for? Okay. So, about this message because I didn't want it to come across angry. I'm not mad at you. God's not mad at you either. I'm not mad. I am mad, however, at the enemy. I'm angry at what he's been able to do to a bunch of people that I love and care about. I'm tired of hearing about nonsense reports. I'm tired of people being stressed out instead of overcoming. I'm tired of all that. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of getting phone calls with no hope. But we don't have to be those people because he gave us more than that. We'll get into that in the next few sermons. We'll find out who you are and how awesome you are, and I'll go back to building you up. But today, we have to evaluate. So today is an evaluation day. And so I won't come back here next week and apologize for it. Because I am saying this out of love. Because somebody needs to get shook up. So I want you to bow your head. Because this is a private moment. This is your moment. This is your moment right here. Ugh. You have to go over those things that Jesus did in your mind. He always confronted people with truth. He didn't back down from what his father told him to do. He told them the good news, but he also confronted what was wrong. He didn't conform to the world. He transformed the world. That's who we're supposed to be. He lived a life submitted. He became our champion so that we could be completely and totally his and do exploits in his name. We like that part, but we can't do exploits until we're cleaned out, totally submitted. Holy Spirit, come right now. I ask that you examine every heart in this house and anybody who's listening. Lord, I pray this would not just be words, but Lord, transforming moments. Start thinking about him and how wonderful he is. His presence comes. And he's tugging on hearts. He's tugging. He's like, just let me pull this part of you over to my side. Just take one little step over. The water's fine over here. Just jump in. Just jump in. See, there's the land that he has given you to possess. It has rain from heaven. And he wants to rain down on you right now. All of the depression, so many people. To go in the washing of the water of his presence. All of your struggles, just give it to him. Just, he said, cast your cares upon me. So just have a casting moment, just cast everything that you're worried about and give it to him right now. He's able. He's more than able to take care of it. You can't figure this out in your own strength. You'll just get worn out. That's why he gave us the Spirit. That's why he gave us his word. You to see the things that need to be adjusted in your life. Of vital importance are eternal things. Everything else is temporal. So let go of the temporal. Just let go of it. Grab a hold of the eternal. You're made for purpose. And he's going to revive you right now. So, Father, in this moment, I ask that you rain down on your people, that you bring a renewal to their mind. You renew the reason why they're following you in the first place. Renew their soul, Lord, that they will live for you, that their thoughts and their mind and their emotions and their memories will line up to the truth of who you are, that they will not stay in the present, but they will look into the future and they will work backwards from there. Lord, what do you want us to do right now to reach the future you have planned for us and for the people we're supposed to reach? We are not satisfied, Lord, to be satisfied any longer. Not happening. Save people right now from the tactics of the enemy. Save them, Lord. So in your own way right now, just submit to God. Submit. Submit is a bid. Submit to God and resist the devil, he has to flee. See how easy that is? So, Lord, right now I ask that you would erase words that have been spoken that were not words of life that came out of our mouth. Lord, erase thoughts that come against your kingdom. Erase memories that take us back to who we were instead of who we are. Erase trauma, Lord. Erase trauma. Break the power of that trauma right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we just throw trauma on the foot of the cross. You took trauma. You did trauma. You did it for us so we wouldn't have to live in trauma. So we don't recycle trauma. Live above it. So Lord, I speak healing into every broken heart, into every broken person that doesn't know how to get out of their own way. Lord, you know how to invade their space and bring them to wholeness, Lord. So invade it now. You just have to give him permission. You just have to say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Say it, come, Lord Jesus. When you invite him to come, he actually responds. So, Lord, I thank you that we came in one way today, but we're leaving another way. Lord, I know that no correction at the moment feels good, but to those that are exercised by it, it brings about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And that's what we want. The peaceable fruit of righteousness in our life. So Lord, clean us out, clear us out, set us back on the path you have. Lord, let us present ourselves as your bride without spot or wrinkle. Lord, you said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and you're just to cleanse us from them, and we're asking for that right now. No one leaves here without being clean. They don't have to. They could choose to, but they don't have to, because you said it in your word, and you're watching over that word. So every adjustment that needs to be made, we just let you do it right now. We confess everything as sin that we could recognize, and we ask you to cleanse us from it in your precious son's name. And Lord, we believe that we are made whole. So if you're done with being contained, if you're just done with being contained, if you recognize that Satan has contained you in areas of your life where you just feel like you haven't broke out of things you need to break out of in order for you to live a different life that's pleasing to him, I want you to stand up. Senedio brontiara da para te proshose. Tom The Lord wants you to know that that was not just an action that you just took, but it was a stance. That there's a stance that you just took in the spirit realm that he saw and Satan just saw. And the Lord said, because you responded to my bidding, now I am going to respond to your need. And the Lord said, there's so many things that have been trying to pull you out of my presence, but here we are again, one-on-one. I'm with you and you're with me so that I can transform you, so that I can shift things in your life and give you the ability to walk in all that I created you to do. Joy is coming to you now because joy is overtaking the sadness. Joy is overtaking the sadness, the struggles, the lies of the enemy. The Lord says, I'm looking at your heart. I know what needed to happen. I know what you're laying down, but I also know what you're picking up. And I've given you things to pick up right here. These are treasures that have been hidden from you until now. The words that I speak are not always understood until you respond, but in your response comes a revelation. And in the revelation comes freedom. Freedom is here for you today because you heard the word and responded to it. Freedom from trauma. Freedom from sin. Freedom from lies. Freedom from depression. Freedom from sickness and disease. That is who I am. I am freedom. I am the Lord God Almighty who frees you now. I am releasing a wave over your life right now. The things that you could never accomplish in the natural, you won't have to accomplish them in the natural. You never were supposed to accomplish them in the natural. When you submit to me, I accomplish them for you, and you just get swept into my accomplishment. Receive my love right now. See me as the God who loves you. But see me also as the warrior. Because as you embrace me as the warrior, you will rise up again and become a warrior yourself. You will rise into your proper position and never retreat. You're about ready to eat of the good of the land that I sent you in to possess if you will go all out. You can't go all out to them until you go all out with me. But when you go all out with me, there's nothing we can't do. So picture with me people, picture with me the ones that will be changed because of your submission. Oh. You'll see them in a different way. Even your own family. Do you know that I have other people praying for your family? This is not all on you. That's why we have the body of Christ. That's why I made my bride. That's why I called prayer warriors. there are people praying for you and your family that you've never laid eyes on, because I'm a faithful God. And I care about what you care about. I will take care of that which I have promised. But you need to grab a hold of me, because I am your promise. Let the flood of my love wash away all of the darkness, all of the pain, all of the constraint. Now see yourself, after having done all, standing and standing firm against the enemy. I am reigniting the warrior inside of you. Because change is here. It's not coming, it's here. It's now. You can count on me. And now I'm going to count on you. If you ask me, then I'll bring them. Whatever you release from your hand, I'll multiply it back to you. I'm watching over my word. I'm watching over my word. I'm going to perform it. I am the great I am. Saw what goes on in heaven. If you'll open your eyes to see its glory, if you open your eyes to the victory, you'll be able to contain it and bring it too. So bring it forth, drink it in, and bring it forth. I just thank you for your words, Lord, and I thank you that, Lord, we're taking a stance. We're taking a stance. We're not backing down. We're not giving in. We're not going to go back to the torment of the enemy. We are going forward in you. Lord, we are submitting on purpose to you, to your will and your way. And the enemy has no choice. So, we are not giving him attention, because our attention and our affection belongs to you. We're going to seek you and your kingdom first. And your righteousness will keep us. And you will pour out your blessing on us, Lord. We thank you. No, it's time for the church to be the church. And so I think that there are people that actually need someone to pray with them today. And it doesn't always have to be the pastor. You know this, right? Are you Christians? Did you just submit to God? Well, answer me. Okay. So if you're a Christian, then you carry Christ on the inside of you, and you have the ability to pray for somebody who needs it. So I just want you to go pray for somebody. just activate your own self. If you need prayer, then raise your hand and somebody's going to pray for you. Nobody needs prayer today. This lady right here needs prayer. You need prayer? Okay. I really wish the body of Christ would pray for somebody. I will pray for you though. Let it be so in Jesus' name. How many of you know that the name of Jesus is higher than any other name? And he does not move by whatever the doctor's report is. He is moved by faith. And he is moved by confidence in him. And we are his army. Amen? So, Father, we give you praise for today. We thank you that we are no longer contained. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being Lord. We thank you for being our Savior. We thank you for coming and making us whole again in every way, Lord. We love you and we honor you. We honor your Son with our whole life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, I love you. But who do we love the most? And who loves us the very most? And who loves them the very most? Then go be the church.